Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Farmtown by Evergreen FS. FS Farmtown is a resource for lawn and garden products, from power equipment to mower repair and maintenance, and more. Details at evergreen-fs.com or at 1808 South Morrissey in Bloomington.
Autumn is often a lot of up and down temperatures into the 60s one week and lows in the teens the next. How does that affect your plants? Here with some answers is our gardening expert, Patrick Murphy, from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. This is another edition of WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
Great to be with you, Mike.
Before we talk about sustained cold, what about temperature swings? Is it generally better that it just gets cold and stays cold?
Yes, I think it is for our enjoyment of the outdoors, but I think the plants don't really notice it as much unless the swing has some lasting effects. So when it gets in the 40s and 50s for a week or more, yeah, actually some plants are kind of fooled or tricked by that. And then the cold shows back up and then there's some damage. So it's a little of both.
We've had a few sustained days of very cold temperatures into the single digits at night. What can an early cold snap, or say maybe even Halloween snow, how does that affect plants?
Generally speaking, the temperature, plant type, and growth stage are the factors that are affected by weather, hot and cold. Spring cold snaps can severely damage new growth that's tender, and that's like flower buds and newly emerged leaves. Late fall and early winter extreme cold, they can damage late season growth that has not fully hardened off, and a lot of times will prevent that part of the plant from surviving. That's something that relates to the drastic temperature difference that we were just talking about.
And what kind of plants are we talking about? What's most vulnerable to early cold or very cold temps?
Well, in our conversation, I'm talking about trees and woody plants like lilacs, magnolia, forsythia, your broadleaf evergreens like boxwood, rhododendron, and azalea. But it can even affect crabapples, flowering pears, and sycamores, particularly late season plantings from the previous fall and early winter.
A problem I've had with cold temperatures, and maybe it's dry conditions, is that the plant sort of desiccates on one side. So like an American holly,
okay.
It will turn brown on one side, and I've actually had to apply either burlap or a waxy sealer.
Some wilt-proof.
Yeah, some wilt-proof.
Yeah.
Is that a factor of the cold, or is that because it's just dry and I'm getting some sunshine on the south side of that tree?
Yeah, and it could be a plant placement and design issue too, because in holly's case, yeah, they're a broadleaf and we associate holly in winter, right? I guess because of the Christmas holidays, mm-hmm. and things like that. But because they are broadleaf evergreens, they receive the hazard of being susceptible of drying out, and that's why those products exist, and that's why the technique of burlapping exists. Sometimes that can be mitigated just by having a protective barrier, either of other plants or some kind of structure like, say, a fence or a wall.
What keeps moisture in a tree from expanding and cracking and damaging a tree like a frozen pipe?
Well, nothing. Because if it's a real early cold snap and the water is still there, the sap's still flowing, let's say it that way. If the water's there then, ice cracks are the result. And you can see these scars on trees and woody plants. Because just like the pipe that you mentioned, the water explodes. Hmm. And it damages dead cells. And then it can even damage the xylem, phloem, and cambium layers that are right behind the bark. And when you see that, the wound looks a lot like a lightning strike without the burnt appearances. And it doesn't usually kill the tree unless it girdles the tree or encircles it most of the way.
But that's fairly rare.
It's an occurrence that happens that you could easily go out and look for and find in the winter, actually, if you wanted to see it.
What does other cold damage look like?
Cold weather damage can appear as shriveled black or dark brown foliage, leaves, and stems. They can appear to be limp or wilted. The later season cold effects can oftentimes go unnoticed until spring observations and plans for kickstarting the garden occur. At that time, you see it as dead wood. When everything else is blooming and setting flower buds and all that stuff, the portions of the plants that were damaged late in the season, they won't be coming back to life. Most often, the trees and woody plants recover from this type of damage. But new plantings, let's say less than 5 years in the ground and in their new home, are at a greater threat.
And is there any way to protect for that?
Well, yes, we can apply anti-desiccants, but their persistence is shortened by the occurrence of rain and sunlight. So you can have to put the anti-desiccant back on again during that weird weather when you're washing your car outside over Christmas vacation. That's a good time to also keep in mind you can protect your conifers and your broadleaves by giving them a drink at that time, because the water fills up those cells and it makes those cells stronger, and then they're more resistant to the cold.
I worry about perennial flowers, especially those planted in the last year or so. Should I be concerned about an early cold snap or a sustained cold snap when it comes to perennials?
Not as much as, say, with the woody plants. Once the perennial has went dormant and the above-ground parts have faded and wilted and kind of laid down like the hostas right now, it's just like a big pile of mucus, you know, it's just gooey stuff. The party's over, and all the parts that are still living, if you will, they're protected by the ground. That also at the same time kind of promotes the merit of closing up your garden for the year's planting areas covered with adequate mulch to protect what's going to have to come back to life and produce more growth in the spring.
How does mulch actually help? Because is the soil really that much warmer under the mulch than it is above the mulch?
It's not that far off, right? If you've taken the time to measure it for an academic exercise, you'll notice that it's just 34 degrees, maybe 35, 36.
Just keeps it from freezing.
Just enough to prevent the freezing of the ground to kind of smash and damage cellular stuff that's in there. And some of that still occurs with the mulch. It's just that the depth of the plant parts go beyond what freezes and thaws and freezes and thaws.
And on the flip side, what about warm, dry temperatures affecting bulbs or perennials? I assume you have the same problem on the hot end, too.
It is, and that's what motivated my comments about that. We seem here in the Midwest to get it every year. You're just not sure when, but you get this temperature that makes you feel like it's going to be spring and winter's long from being over. Your potted plants in vessels, that not just urns, but those are in elevated planters. Like at the Marquis to the Bone Student Center, they got these beautiful birch trees in there. This winter, when we get the warm seasonal weather, those birch trees are going to need a drink.
And then there are the plants we eat. What about problems in the vegetable garden?
The same treatment and approach for watering during the warm temps will help us with our vegetable garden. And we're talking about stuff like asparagus and rhubarb and sets that have remained in the garden. Late winter sets for things like cabbage, broccoli, and cauliflower. They can be damaged by late winter or early spring extreme cold. Those you would have to remove and replant, and that phenomenon is called buttoning, and that's when the warm temperature kind of makes the plant believe it's time to go back to work. This is oftentimes addressed with the low dome, little tiny below the kneecap greenhouses over the rows. The radishes, lettuce, spinach, your potatoes planted in, say, late March, early April, they should be able to survive any cold snaps, late winter and early spring, no problem.
We've talked about the benefits of cold temperatures on the soil during a past episode. It helps break up the particles in the soil, the freeze-thaw cycle. What about benefits to trees and woody plants?
A lot of the freezing and thawing is kind of whittling away at the detrimental insect population in the form of, there's some insect laying beneath the folds of bark on a fruit tree and it thinks it's spring because it's this warm weather and it may emerge. So we're talking like a stink bug or a ladybug that we deal with at the end of the year. They can be coaxed into believing it's time to come back to work and face some cold weather that ultimately finishes them off.
If you have any gardening or landscape questions about cold snaps or anything, get in touch and share your questions and we might answer them on an upcoming episode of Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy. Send your gardening questions to wglt.org/grow.